News to the hour, I'm Chad Groening. President Barack Obama has been hunting for votes for his economic rescue package among skeptical congressional Republicans. White House correspondent Mark Smith reports.
The president met separately with House and Senate Republicans and in between told reporters the daily drumbeat of dire statistics underscores the need to act quickly. And he hopes that need will trump partisanship.
I don't expect 100% agreement from my Republican colleagues, but I do hope that we can all put politics aside and do the American people's business right now.
Right now, Republican backing is slim, with GOP leaders complaining of spending bloat and not enough of the plan devoted to cutting taxes. Mark Smith, Capitol Hill.
Meanwhile, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi stirred up a hornet's nest by promoting the idea of spending millions of dollars on birth control and abortion as part of the economic stimulus package. AFN's Charlie Butts has more.
The comments came on ABC's This Week. AFN turned to Susan Fahney of the Catholic League for a comment.
It's quite shocking, actually, that the Speaker of the House, who claims to be Catholic, would go on national television and claim that contraception would reduce the cost to the government. It's just beyond words, really.
And will the spending help dig America out of its economic doldrums?
That's not going to help grow the economy. I mean, it doesn't even make sense as a prospect for, you know, helping this country through our economic crisis. So it's wrong on so many different levels, and it just shows that she's a very flawed thought process.
America needs to produce 2.1 children per couple to keep up with births to support the population, and that's not being done. In Europe, economies have been especially hurt by lowering birth rates. I'm Charlie Butts.
There have been renewed hostilities between Israel and Gaza Palestinians. An Israeli soldier was killed by a terrorist bomb attack on an army patrol. Israeli warplanes in response have struck targets in Gaza. And the Palestinians say a house in southern Gaza has been hit by Israeli tank fire. U.S. missile strikes on suspected terror targets inside Pakistan are going to continue, despite the change of command in Washington. Defense Secretary Robert Gates indicates the Predator strikes are going to remain a part of the U.S. arsenal in the war on terror. Pakistan has complained that missile launches by Pentagon and CIA drones are a violation of its sovereignty. And Defense Secretary Gates says some tight ethics rules are keeping good people out of government. Sagar Magani reports from the Pentagon.
Gates told a Senate panel he takes a backseat to no one when it comes to acting ethically, but he criticized a system he says essentially cuts off the government's nose to spite its face.
There is a reason we have those kinds of vacancies and that they endure year after year after year.
Gates did not mention his choice for his top deputy here, William Lynn, whose nomination is being held up in the Senate because he was a Raytheon lobbyist. Sagar Meghani at the Pentagon.
Some of the secretly recorded FBI tapes of Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich are being played at his impeachment trial in Springfield. In them, he appears to be talking about pressuring lobbyists for campaign donations in exchange for legislation they wanted. Blagojevich tells the Associated Press the tapes were just talk and exploring ideas. Several countries in the former Soviet Union have passed laws that are expected to restrict Christian missionary activity. AFN's Ali Martin reports.
Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, and Kyrgyzstan have all passed laws that restrict evangelism. Some republics now have laws that require churches with 200 or more people to register with authorities. If that is not done, it is illegal to meet. That would virtually eliminate house churches, which have small congregations. Sergei Rakuba is vice president with Russian Ministries. In an interview with Mission Network News, he said, while the laws will force the evangelical church into hiding, the work of the gospel will continue.
When it's under the pressure and persecution, they not just want to survive, you know, they want to make an effort to make the gospel available, you know, and spread it farther to their fellow countrymen.
Other restrictions have been placed on what can be taught to young people. Also, evangelism outside of the church walls will be prohibited without a permit. I'm Ali Martin.
And that is American Family News to the Hour. I'm Chad Groening.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and the object of this program these days is to go through the Scripture book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And I'm Nicholas, and as I go through it, I get to comment on it because it's my program. Also, I'm using the eSword, and you can get a copy of this Bible software program, Bible software study program, at e-sword.net. That's the eSword, the hyphenated, e-sword.net. And download the program there. And when you download the main program, you get everything you need. You will get the authorized King James Version, plus the Strong's Hebrew and Greek Concordance. I also advise, while you're there downloading, that you get the King James Version 1611. Get the King James Version with the Apocrypha, so you can copy and paste without the numbers, without the Greek and Hebrew numbers, for those of you that need to copy and paste into other texts. That's the way you do it. Also, download Henry's commentary. And that's about where I would end it, right there, with those three things. The King James Version that comes with the main eSword program, the 1611, so you can see the evolution. And yes, that is proper word, proper use for the word of evolution. You can see the evolution of the King James Version, how it was originally translated from the original text into English. You can see the evolution of the English language from the King James 1611 to the what is called the authorized King James Version that we use today. The 1611, of course, was translated around 1611. And near the end of the 1700s, I believe it was the 1790s, some scholars, or a scholar, set about in one of the major universities to update the language of the King James Version, and that became known as the authorized King James Version. I heard another teacher on the networks here. He refers to the AV 1611. Well, there is no such thing as an AV, authorized version 1611. I think he is actually referring to the authorized version, because when he quotes the scripture, that's what I hear him quoting, is the authorized version, which is the 1790s version, and actually not the AV 1611. It would be kind of hard to read the AV 1611. And now I'm saying AV. It would be kind of hard to read the original 1611 version, because the original 1611 version is not the authorized version. Very little study, very little research into this topic, and you'll find this out, you know, adequately for yourself, or you could take my word for it. But I always say, check it out for yourself. If you find I'm in error about anything, I'm counting on you to let me know. If I am in error on anything, you think I'm wrong about something, please, 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 that's with three pleases there, email me. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org, look for the email link there, and you know how email works. Send me an email. Put in the subject line, Nicholas, I think you're wrong about this, or put in the scripture first reference, or just put Cross the Border, or just my name. Make sure that it's something in the subject line so I know that this is an email I want to look at and respond to. Because, you know, with the hundreds of emails that we get on an hourly basis at the network, it's nice to be able to see them easily if I want to respond to them, or if someone's actually trying to contact me at my behest here on the air. Well, today we are going to continue in our study of the book of Psalms. Last time we left off in Psalms chapter 24. And, well, you know, it's a short chapter. It's only 10 verses. So wherever I left off, I'm going to just start at the beginning again. This is a scripture verse that's embedded in my memory here, chapter 24 and verse 1, because the whole earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and everyone that dwells therein. And of course, that's a not an exact translation. Let me read it exactly, but that's how I usually remember it. But it says in the Authorized Version, not the AV 1611. We discussed that already. I could look at the 1611 and see what it does say. And it says pretty much the same thing. And a lot of times you'll find that in the 1611. You'll notice the spelling differences. And you don't get as many clues as to the original language. You go down to, say, verse 7, and it says, lift up your heads. But the word up is spelled with a V. It's VP, lift up your heads. And there you have the evolution of the English language. Ye everlasting doors, and everlasting is spelled E-U-E-R, everlasting. And doors is spelled D-O-O-R-E-S, doors. So you can see, but you know, what's the point in looking at the original 1611 version and the original English version and seeing the evolution of the English language in print? Well, you learn some things, like a double U is still looks like a double V, doesn't it? So perhaps the language and the spelling is still evolving, and it is still evolving. And as an aside, one thing that really bothers me, and I'm going to tell you right now, one thing that really bothers me are so-called law dictionaries. Because when you write a law, the law is determined by the meaning of the words. And what bothers me is they have this Black's Law Dictionary, and every so often they come out with a new version. And you'll notice that the words actually change meanings, or they omit words. I can see adding a meaning to a word, you know, like, you know, there are computer terms that nobody used 50 years ago simply because, yes, it was only 50 years ago we didn't have any computers. Or if we did, they were so monstrous and so expensive, and most of the language hadn't evolved yet. So let's go back 60 years, 70 years. They had no computers, and certainly no one had one at home. I'll tell you that much. So you have to add, but you have to also retain. And a truly good law dictionary would say what year the word, the new definition for the word was added. So you know that any law that was written before that was referring to another definition. But I believe that those that are in charge of writing the law dictionaries are using their position to change laws by changing the meaning of words. And that's very unfortunate. So what they need to do with every document of law that they write now, they really have to have a dictionary for every word in the document. Reminds me of that statement that one of our great presidents made, a great recent president. A lot of people might cringe when I say, who is this great recent president? But I say he was great because he was very popular, and he was great in the world, okay? So this great in the world president, Bill Clinton, said, that depends on what the meaning of is. You know, and all of his critics laughed at him, and all of the so-called conservatives and neocons laughed at him. They laughed him to scorn. But it was a very wise statement, because he was right. It does depend on the meaning of every word when it comes to law. And so it is when it comes to the Scripture, because the Scripture is God's law. So let's jump back into our Authorized King James Version here. A Psalm of David. The earth is Yahuwah's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. And we talked about this last time. We went back to the beginning and how he created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was, talked about the face of the deep, of course, referring to water. And here we have a statement that verifies this from the psalmist, that he founded it upon the seas. He established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or Yahuwah, by name our Creator? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. And how do you obtain clean hands and a pure heart? Well, that is by his imputed righteousness, the righteousness of his Redeemer. That is how we become a man who has clean hands and a pure heart. You know, it doesn't matter what our past was. I mean, it does to a certain point, it does for this life, because undoubtedly, if we have acted wickedly and been a great sinner throughout our life, if we've committed adulteries and whoredoms and murders, and we're going to suffer the repercussions of those things in this mortal life, because our God is just. But we can be redeemed. We can be forgiven for all of those things. And this is demonstrated over and over throughout the Scriptures, throughout the Word of our Heavenly Father. And I'm so glad that he did demonstrate that for all of us, because it gives us all hope. Because we can read about godly men, men after God's own heart, who did terrible atrocities, who did terrible things, who sinned terribly against the Creator and against his law. And we can realize that, yes, I can be forgiven. He forgave them. But he also demonstrates that they suffered the consequences of those sins in their mortal life. And there's no way, you know, there's no getting away from that. Just pray for mercy. That's all I can say. And he is merciful. And he is especially merciful to those that show mercy. So, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and we can obtain those through his Redeemer, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. And you know, we've all had dirty hands. We've all thought impure things. We've all lifted up our soul to vanity. We've all sworn deceitfully. So obviously, there is a way to become clean. And he makes that way. He writes his law upon our minds and on our hearts so that we might not sin against him, so that he can be our God and we can be his people. And by his imputed righteousness, we can say that we have clean hands and a pure heart. He shall receive the blessing from Yahuwah and righteousness from the God of his salvation, signifying again that righteousness comes from him and from the God of our salvation. He is our salvation, and that's what his name means. The name of our Redeemer says that our God is our salvation. Yahuwah is his name, and Yahushua is his son's name, which means that he is our salvation. He became a man. He took our place. He is the God of our salvation. He is our salvation. Verse 6, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, or Yahuwah strong and mighty. Yahuwah, by name, in the original text, Yahuwah, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Yahuwah of hosts, he is the King of glory. Psalm 25, that is chapter 25 and verse 1, a psalm of David. Unto thee, Yahuwah, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. And it may seem like at times that our enemies are triumphing over us, but their victory, their triumph, is only temporary, because this life is only temporary. And our victory is eternal, because it will last forever. And the psalmist cries out, let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, Yahuwah, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Yahuwah, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sakes, O Yahuwah. Good and upright is the Lord, or Yahuwah by name, the Creator. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of Yahuwah are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Yahuwah, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. And here we see that the king, David, the psalmist, humbly acknowledges his sin and how great it is. But he says, for thy name's sake, O Yahuwah, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. And as the man in the proverb said, the beginning, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. So what man is he that feareth Yahuwah? Him shall he teach in the way he shall choose. And I say, let him choose our way. Chapter 25 and verse 13. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. His secret, or the secret, of Yahuwah is with them that fear him. And here we're talking about a mystery, a secret, something hidden from the world, something that the world can't understand, something that I deal with as I produce some movies, anti-zeitgeist, short clips or, you know, short features, not really movies, but you have a limit on YouTube of 10 minutes, so you can only say so much in 10 minutes. But I always get the atheists and the skeptics and the proponents of the spirit of the age, which is Zeitgeist in German. But the secret of Yahuwah is with them that fear him. They can't know. They can't understand. They don't know what I know. They think I'm a fool. They are to give up your Bible and that silly fables and things like that, and face the facts. Of course, the facts are lies from the Zeitgeist movie. Just bald-faced lies from Satan worshippers, no less. But they're deceived. Why are they deceived? Well, because the secret of Yahuwah, the secret of the Lord, is not with them. It is with them that fear him. And they don't fear him. So they don't understand the mystery, the mysteries of our God. They don't understand the mystery of iniquity. They don't understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. They do not understand mystery Babylon. They understand none of the secrets. So verse 14, the secret of the Lord, Yahuwah by name, is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Have you seen his covenant? Well, not talking about showing you a document. He's going to show it to you in such a way that you'll own it, that you'll know what it is. His covenant. His covenant is with me, is the promise of eternal life, the promise of escape from death through his Redeemer. And his covenant he's made with me. He's shown me his kingdom and his law. And he says, hey, if you want to dwell in my kingdom, if you love my law, if you love me, and you love my law because you desire to do the things that please me, then my covenant is with you. However, our God is not a tyrant. He's not going to make you keep his law. He's not going to make you walk in his kingdom. He's not going to make you love him. Because he said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. So we know how to love him. And if you don't want to keep his commandments, well, it's because you do not love him. Period. That's all there is to it. Because you love something else more than you love him. So he shows us his covenant. And he says, choose this day whom you will serve. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through the Psalms. And we'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
I have a thankful heart that you have given me, and it can only come from you.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Let our motto be, don't tread on me. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have
for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate churched friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
FlyingEagleGold.com says don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman over the alternative media until you understand the full story. Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world at a very competitive cost. And Jeffrey takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. You're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Okay, welcome back to Cross the Border, and we're going to continue in Psalm here. In the Psalms, we're in, let's see, where did we left off here? Yes, the man, what man is he that feareth? All right, we'll go back to chapter 25 and verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sakes, O Yahuwah. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of Yahuwah are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Yes, I was talking about his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, Yahuwah, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord, or of Yahuwah, is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Yes, that's where we left off. The psalmist continues, mine eyes are ever toward Yahuwah, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Keep your eyes on him, and he'll pluck your feet out of the net. And I'll tell you, there are plenty of nets out there. They're all around, everywhere you look. Most people don't recognize the nets as what they are. As a matter of fact, when you grow up in the world systems and you go to the public pools and you assist schools, I mean, yeah, and you go to the corporate churches, they teach you how to walk into the nets, and they teach you how to just wrap the nets around you and how comforting they are, and how we should all do those things that the Bible teaches against. Actually, we're to forget none of his benefits, not walk into the benefit system of this world and be trapped in their net and everything that comes with it. That's just one example. There are many nets out there. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distress. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Chapter 26 and verse 1. A Psalm of David. Judge me, O Yahuwah, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in Yahuwah. Therefore, I shall not slide. And perhaps that's a reference to backsliding. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, and try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in my truth. I don't know how many horse people there are out there, but to prove me, he says, try my reins and my heart. In other words, steer me whatever way you want me to go, and see whether I will go that way or not. Try me. Try my reins and my heart, and that we could be like a good horse. I have several horses out here on the ranch here in the undisclosed location of the Southern Sierra foothills and on the land designated California, and we have a few horses here. All of them were gifts. We couldn't afford them if we had to buy them, but we have them, and the Heavenly Father, he provides food for them too. Got three horses here. I got a Mustang, an old fellow. He's about 20 years old, and just real easy going. His reins are easy. He responds well. He loves children. You get little children around him, he's got his muzzle right down there next to him. And he's watching them and guarding them. He's going to make sure that they're not going to get hurt around him. He's a good old horse, I'll tell you. And then I have about a 15-year-old pony. And she's a brat, but very affectionate, very sweet. And, you know, she's about the size that she fits right under your armpit and you can hug her. And she's just beautiful, got pretty eyes, she's just a beautiful pony, but she is a brat. And you got to be careful with her, because she's dumb. Well, all horses are dumb, really. They can hurt you without meaning to hurt you. And if they're cantankerous or brattish, like, well, most ponies are, as any horse people know, that you have to be careful around them and know how they're going to act, because you have to be smarter than the horse. And then I got a 4-year-old Appy mare, and she is big. And she's hardly tamed at all. And if you tried her reins, you would have a little trouble. You put a halter on her and a lead rope, and you have trouble with her. So as far as before my Heavenly Father, I would rather be like that old fellow, that Mustang, who would respond well to him. Than like that Appy mare, or even that stubborn pony. Of course, I probably think maybe I'm somewhere between that stubborn little pony and that wise old Mustang that I have. That's what I get out of this. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. A dissembler, that's an interesting word. Alam, to veil from sight, that is to conceal, to blind, to hide, to those who work in secret. So there we go. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency. I will compass thine altar, O Yahuwah, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, Yahuwah, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with the sinners. And I love this. It's just beautifully poetic. I wish I could do it justice. Just the beauty. And that's one thing I do love about the King James Version, is just the poetic beauty of it. I will wash mine hands in innocency. And I like this, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. Do you have a voice of thanksgiving? You know, I hate the complainers all day long. They find something wrong with everything. You don't even want to be around with them, you know. Everything's got to find something wrong. It's called pride. They have a real problem with pride. So they have to judge everything. They have to find something wrong with everything, because they're lifting themselves up to judge everything. No, let's publish. He says that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. And I know that our Heavenly Father hates a complainer. And you parents out there, you know, when your children complain, you just know how you hate it. And you do. And then you can identify with the Heavenly Father. Then you have to examine yourself and say, am I a complainer? Judge all the words that come out of your own mouths. When you see something in someone else that you don't like, and especially your own children, because most of the time they're just being, you know, little mirrors. Yes, that's right. They're just doing what you do. And a lot of times, you know, now I see, you know, and I have to question, where is that coming from? So I examine myself. Well, it's not coming from me. So when you see things going on, you might have to do a little investigation to find out where they're coming from when you see things in your children. All of us as parents, we should be concerned, and we should shelter our children even from other children. That's why the public school system is so dangerous, and so many Christians lose their children to the world because they turn them over to the public school. And you know that hour at church every Sunday can't compete. And I'll tell you, parents, to send your, you know, I heard on somewhere that some Christians wrote a book and basically saying it's okay to send your children to public school. And they told how they did it and how they kept their children from the evil influence of the public school while they sent them there. Well, in their book, they spent probably more time undoing the influence of evil than you would just by keeping them home and homeschooling them. Most parents don't have enough energy to do that. That's a lot of extra work. It would take less energy just to homeschool them yourself. That's right. So that's kind of foolish. And the reality is that most parents can't do that. That most parents just need to homeschool their children, which will force them into to providing a minimum or an adequate amount of education. It will force them to be good parents if they take the responsibility upon themselves out of a conviction from our Heavenly Father rather than giving them an excuse because you're extraordinary and can put in twice as much effort as it would take to actually homeschool them into saving them from the bad influences of the world. Well, I hope that works out good for those people that are proposing that, but I propose, yes, everyone who loves God and who loves their children need to remove their children from public school system and need to homeschool them. And it will bring you and your children closer together. You will be able to experience what your Heavenly Father really wanted for you and your children. Also, another thing you will notice is that homeschool children are somewhat unusual. That's right. They develop very unique personalities, you know, because they don't fall into that cookie cutter every day. You know, you ever see a school of fish? You notice how they all swim together and they all act alike? Well, that's what school is. It's where you're all schooled together. The bell rings, all the little fishies get up out of their desks and they swim to the next, you know, the next class. It's like a big aquarium. That's what the school building is like. It's like, so really homeschool is a misnomer if you use the definition of school. Yes, because you're being schooled. That means you're being conformed to the pack. You know, and of course the pack of fish, the school of fish. But so homeschool, you know, plenty of good curriculums out there. You can even find them free on the internet for homeschooling. Teach your children how to read, how to write, you know, teach them arithmetic. And if you get some history text, you know, learn some real history so you don't teach them all the lies in the history books. Even the Christian curriculums are brainwashing, statist, state-worshipping texts. I have them, so I go through them with my daughter. And I teach her the real history, and I have real history books too. So, but I also have bought a curriculum, so I go through it with her. And we just skip a lot of it, you know, all of the how to be a good, obedient little statist parts. We skip all those, and then we revise all of the bad history as we go through it. But you'll find your children are a sponge, and they will look up to you, and they will have a godly reverence for their parents, that godly reverence that they're supposed to have for their parents if you homeschool them, rather than the hatred for parents and the disrespect for parents that they will learn in the public school system. And all of these poor fools out there that are sending their children to the public fool system wondering what happened. What happened to my children? The children that love me know so much. And then they just accept it. Oh, it's just the rebellious phase. Oh, it's all teenagers do it. Yes, all public fooled teenagers do it. It's a phase if you're public fooled. Oh, can't emphasize the importance enough out there, parents. If you got two parents working, well, you know what? Save your money, because the second parent is working mainly 90%, 80 to 90% of what the second parent is working for is to sustain the lifestyle of a two working parent family. A mother would do just as well, or the father would do just as well to stay home. One of the parents would do just as well to stay at home and learn how to save money by doing a lot of things that they could do for themselves. Plus, they would save the money of the extra cost for child care. It all adds up. The extra cost for the extra food costs, the extra traveling expense costs, the extra licensing and professional fees costs, and the extra taxes that you have to pay. Like I said, 80 to 90% of the money earned by the second parent working is swallowed up by virtue of the second parent working. And the 20% gain that you have, well, you count the cost of the loss of your children, because you're going to lose them. Eventually, they'll get to the stage where, oh, it's just a phase. It's just a rebellious phase that all public fooled teenagers go through. So you'll lose your children. That's the worst thing. But that 20%, you can make it up. You can make up for it by doing things yourself. and by saving money on other things that you don't have time to save money on. You know, just think about it logically. The illusion is, of course, the total amount of the money that, you know, income. But the reality is the cost of that extra income is going to swallow most of it up. And the reality is you could save a lot of money by working hard at it. Because if you don't have another job, well, you can work hard at it. And then truly, you know, living and walking by faith and trusting in the Heavenly Father and believing His Word. He said, you know, Yahshua, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And the all these things that will be added to you, He of course was referring to housing, food, clothing, automobile, travel expense, all of the things that you need for your life, whatever that life may be, in whatever time or situation you're living in. He knows what you have need of, and He said He would provide for you if you seek first His kingdom. And why did He give us children? Why does a man and woman come together? That they may seek a godly seed. So if you're turning your children over to pagans to train, where's the godly seed? How are you seeking first the kingdom of God? By destroying your own children and turning them over to pagans to be trained up in the kingdom of darkness. He says, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. And that's what the public fool system, it is the congregation of evildoers. What are they going to teach your children? Now in the public schools, now in California, oh, it's okay to be gay. You know, Heather has two mommies and all of that. Yes, now a man and a woman can get married. Oh, wait a minute, did they overturn that? Are they going to overturn it again? Well, we can see where it's going, you know. We can see what's going on, especially with the abomination that we have in the government today. I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, Yahuwah, that I might publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. I have loved thy habitation of thy house, the place where thine honor dwelleth. Do you love the place where his honor dwelleth? And you know, that's why you listen to this program, because this is the place where his honor dwells. I am here to honor him. I want my life to honor him. I want the lives of my children and my grandchildren to honor him. So gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place in the congregation. Will I bless Yahuwah. Psalm chapter 27, verse 1, a psalm of David. Yahuwah, the Lord, is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahuwah is my strength, is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing have I desired of Yahuwah. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Yahuwah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahuwah, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall I hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy, and I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto Yahuwah. Hear, O Yahuwah, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek ye my face, my heart said, unto thee, thy face, Yahuwah, will I seek. That's all the time we have for this hour. Stay tuned for more. And the news.